This is a teaching from One Thing Ministries Singapore. For additional resources and information, please visit our website at www.onethingministries.net.
We're going to take the next 7 or 8 weeks. In fact, today we're going to start a new series. I call it the IHOP Lifestyle. We're going to take the next 7 and 8 weeks, maybe even more, to actually talk a little about who we are. You know, I define it as the IHOP Lifestyle, which is the four acronyms. You know, often I say the four acronyms. IHOP is not just International House of Prayer. Of course, it's not International House of Pancake. Of course, beyond that. It's actually the four acronyms that define the very four core value of who we are. And it's a very important four core values because, you know, I say many times, we are here not just to do something. We are here, firstly, to be the very kind of people that God wants us to be. I say it again and again, you know, over the last 10 over years, that don't just do IHOP. It's easy to do IHOP. In a way, we are doing IHOP, you know, International House of Prayer, you know, the prayer, the worship, and so on. I think that's not a bad thing, but we must go beyond just doing the IHOP. At the end of the day, we want to be the IHOP people. We surround, build around these four core values, IHOP. We're going to define for you what these four core values, you know, we're going to take the next 7 or 8 weeks, you know, just to run through what this is about and give you just some of the things probably are not new to each and every one of us, but the key is not, you know, we want something new. The key is to do it, to live it out, to walk it out. You know, some of the things I'm going to give you today about prayer, say, yeah, that's not anything new. But the key thing is, have we done it? Have we actually applied it? Have we cultivated a consistent prayer life? Which is, this is not about marking attendance or, you know, we have to do this or that. It's for ourselves. It's vital because these are the very kind of people that God is looking for. You know, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, which is a very powerful verse. The scripture said this, the eyes of God run through and fro throughout the whole earth, looking. He is still looking. He is always looking. And is even more intense and more vital and more important, especially we are coming to the end of the age. Jesus is coming back. You know, we say it over the call, over the 2 weekend. You know, sounds so fast. It's about 2 weeks before I realize it will be the call 2015. Okay. But we say it, always saying this, is that Jesus is not just returning for a vacuum. He's returning for something. He's returning for someone. There's a specific kind of people that God is always looking for. And especially when Jesus is about to return, there is a kind of people that he's looking for. That's why we are here. Yes, we are the forerunner, we are the voice. But more than just being the forerunner, being the voice, we firstly want to be that very people that God is looking for. If not, we can't be the messenger. How can we call people to pray when we don't have a lifestyle of prayer? You know what I'm saying? The message has to be the messenger. The messenger has to be the message. That's where life, a Torah, maybe the fullback, give me, just lower a little bit. That's where real life authority comes through when you say it. It's when you have lived it, when you have walked it out. 2 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. The eyes of the Lord run through and fro throughout the whole earth. He is always looking for certain kind of people. That's why we're going to define, not so much for a teaching, but for ourselves. You know, even as I run through this, I keep reminding myself, am I living this out? No. I mean, to me, it's even more important because I don't want to just say it. I don't want to just teach it. So what if I'm a director of International House of Prayer, One Thing Ministry? At the end of the day, I mean, I teach almost every Friday, but at the end of the day, I have not really lived out this reality. It means nothing, even if I speak to crowds of thousands, because it means nothing, because that is not who I am. Being a preacher is not who I am. Walking out and being the kind of people that God desires me to be is who I am. I want to be the very kind of people that God is looking for. And we know, very familiar verse, Isaiah 66, verse 1. Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is my resting place? You know, I want to keep saying this because it's true. God is really raising up physical house of prayer, global worship and prayer movement all over the world. But that word resting place is more than just a physical place. God is not in need of the place to rest. He does not need rest. He does not need a place. He does not need a golden house and so on. The word resting place is always referring to the very kind of people that God is looking for. The community, when they gather, when God comes, He does not have to wrestle with us because He found a group of men and women, hearts are in full alignment with Him. What He likes, we like. What He hates, we hate. We know the very desire of the heart. His value is also our value. That is the kind of people, and that is the word resting place referring to in Isaiah 66, verse 1. That's why my cry constantly, God, may you find rest in this house. May you find rest in this house. When you come, you can rest, inverted comma, is because you don't have to wrestle with us because we know what you want. We will ask in accordance to your heart. It's not like we are asking something because say, no, this is not what I want. Oh, okay. God has found a group of people who understand Him fully. That's why we're not going to run through this. It's so vital for us to know and to build this community around this core value, because I say it again and again, yes, we are here, we have a mandate, we have a task to fulfill. We want to do the Great Commission. That's why we put up all these prophetic promises, because it's something that God has for us. But more than that, we are here firstly to be the very kind of people that God is looking for. Firstly, I will say this, what's the point of, at the end of the day, do 24/7, do many great works, having conferences that thousands comes. But at the end of the day, we become a monster. We kill one another. We fight against one another. I don't think God is pleased. We want to be the people first. And as a result, partnering with the Lord to do the Great Commission. No, the Great Commissions are important. But our heart is even more important. Firstly, it's about who we are and our heart. That's why I keep saying this. Don't do IHOP. It's easy to do IHOP. No, I mean, yes, we may not be 24/7 now, but we are doing IHOP in a way. And you're throwing pancake, then that's a double jeopardy. Okay. No, don't just do IHOP. It's easy to do IHOP, you know. Come this night, that's nice. Yeah, I've been doing it. No, that's not the point. The key is not just doing IHOP. The key is be the IHOP people. The four acronyms that define our four core value that is vital. May we build our life around this four foundational pillar. Let me give you a very powerful prophetic word because I want to share what is from God's heart. Now I'm going to talk about prayer. You know, I was a little bit ambitious. I thought about fasting too. I realized that no, I can't. So I'm going to break it into two parts. Today I'm going to talk about prayer. Next week I'm going to talk about fasting because fasting is part of house of prayer. Being a forerunner, faster lifestyle is part of it. Okay, that does not mean that you don't struggle, but we embrace fasted lifestyle. We all struggle. No, I don't care whether you eat half a banana or one banana, and if you seek to fast, okay. There is a very powerful prophetic word being spoken in sometime in the 80s that define what God really looking for. If you want, you can write down. The prophetic word is this: God will change the understanding and the expression of Christianity on the earth in one generation. No, we are literally seeing it. Just mark my word. The way that church is going to express and run 10 years or 15 years from now is not going to be the same as now. God is slowly shifting. Just mark my word.
just watch it. Someone was writing a thesis about God's movement in Singapore, and he asked me, you know, I just have, no, you just mark my word, 10 years, 15 years from now, the way church is being run and expressed, it will be entirely different from how we understand right now. God is going to restore it to his original intention of how church is being run. Okay, so the word is this. God will change the understanding and the expressions of Christianity on the earth in one generation. That's sometime in the 80s, okay? There are two aspects to this prophecy which is important for us to understand, okay? The first one is changing of understanding. Second is a changing of expressions. We will have new understanding. No, when I say new, that does not mean that you was never in the Word of God. But new in the sense that suddenly the eyes of our heart begin to be enlightened. We begin to understand and see it. And the Holy Spirit begin to emphasize and giving greater revelation and understanding. That's what I'm talking about. A new understanding. There's going to be a change of understanding, which we are slowly seeing it right now. And second, there's going to be a change of expressions. Okay, that's the two aspects of this prophecy. Changing of understanding, changing of expression. Let me just talk, I'm going to talk quickly because today I want to talk more about prayers because we talked about this before. You can always go to, I think we have a teaching series on our prophetic history, which I talk quite a little bit on it, okay? Firstly, changing of understanding actually speaks of how God's people will understand who we are and what is our identity. God's people will understand who we are and what is our highest identity, which is twofold. First one, of course, is the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. We are slowly moving into their understanding. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17 says this. The Spirit and the bride say, come. When we go all the way to the end of the age, when Jesus returns, the primary identity of the church is the bride. Yes, we are always the army. We are the family. We are so on and so on. There are many expressions of what church is. But ultimately, our primary identity is the bride of Christ. Jesus is returning for his bride. He's not returning for a church. He's returning for his bride. We will begin to understand what this means to be a bride of Christ. Maybe at the end of this series, to talk a little bit about what the bride of Christ, because the last time I talked about it is 2008. So that's a long time. And what is our highest identity? The house of prayer. The house of prayer. Isaiah 56 verse 7. You see, commonly we quote Isaiah 56 verse 7, which Jesus quoted three times. I mean, actually one time, but mentioned three times in three different gospel. Isaiah 56, turn me to Isaiah 56 verse 7. Isaiah 56 verse 7 does not define the function of a church, which I shared before. Isaiah 56 verse 7 define the eternal identity of the church. We are forever house of prayer. The identity of the people of God is forever house of prayer. So in a way, technically, when we pray, God raised up the house of prayer in Singapore. It's not exactly correct because house of prayer is not exactly the way that is like that. Because house of prayer actually is the identity of the church. But it's not wrong because we are praying for a physical 24/7 house of prayer where night and day worship goes on before the very throne of God. But Isaiah 56 verse 7, turn with me to Isaiah 56 verse 7. Maybe I should begin to use iPad, become more fast, just to flip. Okay. Isaiah 56, because I see Duane, wow, it's so easy, you know, just to flip. Maybe I should do that. Yeah, any sponsor? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, Isaiah 56, verse 7. Even them I will bring to my holy mountain, make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. He's not defining a role or a function of the church. God, through prophet Isaiah, is defining the eternal identity of the people of God. We are the house of prayer. Prayer is not what we do. Prayer is who we are. It's our lifestyle. And prayer is not going to stop when Jesus returns, where we let out a huge sigh of relief that it's all over. No, eternally we will pray. Jesus will offer intercessions eternally without ceasing. Who we are is defined as the house of prayer. That's why Jesus quoted three times. He could have mentioned anything. He said, "My house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations." God is going to help us to understand, which we are slowly waking up to understanding who we are as a bride and who we are as a house of prayer. That's why I say this. God is about to throw prayer meetings out of the church. I know a lot of people say, hallelujah. No, no, don't be too quick to hallelujah yet. I say he's going to throw prayer meeting out of the church, but he's going to restore a culture of prayer and fasting back to the church. We will enjoy prayer and we will enjoy fasting. At the moment right now, it's unbelievable. Enjoy fasting. Sometimes I have a glimpse of it. Enjoy fasting. Yeah, but sometimes you get even happier when you break fast. Yeah, okay. So, changing of understanding. Second, changing of expressions. Changing of expressions. That speaks of the way that the church will express her lifestyle and her ministry. And there are specific core values that God insists upon. There are. If you read the New Testament, there are about 10 to 15 values that God defined, that God insists upon, okay? He insists upon. IHOP, IHOP are four core values or four heart standards that God desires. Yes, these four are not the only four in the New Testament. There are about 10 to 15. But at the end of the age, God is speaking loud and clear that these are the four that he insists upon. Some will say that it's one of the most neglected. But we're going to build our life and our ministry on this four core value as our foundational pillar. That's why once in a while, if I know that we have become weak in that, I will throw in Revelation chapter 3, you know, where what happened to the church of Sardis? Oh, God strengthened what has become weak. This four core value has to be the foundational pillar of our life and our ministry, and we have to be strong. I always tell people, you don't join here so that we can pray for your ministry. You join here so that we pray together and then we begin to partner together in different kind of ministry. Like Gareth joined us, okay, with his ministry in, where's the place? Cambodia, okay. So he's not here so that he's part of the ministry. We can pray for his ministry in Cambodia. Meanwhile, he go out to serve. No, he's praying together with us. We are not praying for them. No, we are not praying for him. No, that sounds very selfish. You know what I'm talking about. We are not just praying for him, but we are praying with him. That's what it is about. Prayer is the center of everything we do. Okay, when I talk about this changing expression, there are many core values, but we are talking about this four core value that God insists where we want to build upon this. IHOP. Let me just divert a little bit. You see, I'm not saying this out of criticism. I'm saying this out of honesty because I do make the same mistake too. One of the mistakes that the Church of Jesus Christ by and large make is that we make purpose-driven as the primary thing. Church is not primarily purpose-driven. Church is firstly value-driven. We got to get it right. Now, I'm not saying vision, purpose is unimportant. We have vision, we have purpose. But vision and purpose is very important, but at most, secondary. Church is not firstly purpose-driven. Church is firstly value-driven. Because God is looking for a particular kind of people first. That's why church is firstly value-driven. and then purpose-driven, because value is eternal. If you cultivate love, love is with you forever. In eternity, you still need to love. But vision can be fulfilled. Great Commission will be done after the millennium kingdom. So we're not going to pose at the whatever. I don't know how he's going to figure. Actually, I'm in a deep study about eternity, millennium kingdom, and heaven. Okay, give me 6 months. I'm going to give you all the answers. No, it sounds like, no, I can't give you all that. I really want to go in detail teaching on eternity, heaven, millennium kingdom. Okay, but why am I talking about that? Yeah, I mean, we are not going to put the slogan or the motto or the words on whatever war in eternity, fulfilling the Great Commission. Because one day, we're going to fulfill the Great Commission. But eternally, God still show mercy. Eternally, God is still faithful. Eternally, we still love one another. Value is eternal. Purpose and visions can be fulfilled. That's where we got it wrong. Not that it's totally wrong. We turn it upside down. Value comes first. Then purpose. Because it's easy to do a task. But it's issue. At the end of doing the task, do you still carry your heart well? I've been this long enough. I see ministers, as they go further and further down the road, they get worse. Their heart get more bitter. At the end of the day, I always tell them, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I would tell my wife, please tell me, the moment I become now I can say I'm grumpy old man. I mean, I'm old enough to say I can become a grumpy old man. If I become a grumpy old man, please shout at me, ask me to quit. I will do it because it's not worth it. My heart is more valuable. My character is more valuable. Who I am is more important than doing a task. Because if I fail in building a 24/7 house of prayer and fulfilling the mandate of a voice, God can raise up someone else. If my heart fails, my character become deficient, there's no one that can replace me. There's only one Kechong. It's not worth it. No, like, again, please understand, I'm not talking about either or. I'm talking about priorities. That's why we're going to talk about these four core values. And down the road, we're going to define who we are as a forerunner community because it's important. Because God is not impressed with a big ministry or the big task. God's heart is moved by a big heart. God is not impressed with a big platform. Guess who give you the platform? Unless you try very hard, no. You con people or whatever. He's the one who give you the platform. But he can't give you a big heart. You have to cultivate a big heart. That to me is important, is valuable. And I will not change anything for it. I will not. Okay. The four core values. I stand for intercessions. I stand for, which I'm going to talk a bit today, okay. I stand for intercession. Firstly is, what God desires is always a people of prayer. I say, prayer. Why prayer? Is prayer a value? No, prayer is a value. That's where you don't understand. Prayer is interconnected with intimacy. No, I'll understand. No, unless your understanding of prayer is, I call it the Coca-Cola prayer, no. Give me Coca-Cola, give me Coca-Cola, give me Coca-Cola. It's a one-way. All you do is asking for something. Then that's not really prayer technically. That's why we don't enjoy prayer, is because it's one way. And basically, you're asking God for a grocery list. There's nothing wrong with grocery list, okay? But just that when that is your understanding of prayer, that is not prayer. Prayer, I will define for you. Okay, so I is intercession, people of prayer, individually. People of prayer. That's where I'm going to define and give you some practical step to have a consistent prayer life. Actually, when you realize it, hey, it's not new. Of course, it's not new. There's no magic potion. It's just simple principle. We apply it and actually do it. Then actually, you begin to enjoy it. It's true. Okay, so intercession. Individually, we are called to be a people of prayer. I mean, look at Jesus. I tell you, sometimes I read about Jesus' life, kind of like good check for myself. When I'm tired, now iPhone, before you sleep, can watch some YouTube and sleep. Jesus, at the end of a tired, long ministry, what did he do? He withdrew to pray. I mean, imagine, I said, after the call, let's have 2 hours prayer meeting. Everyone is okay, chong. Can I have a break? No wonder in Luke 11, the disciples saw Jesus' prayer life and they said, Jesus, will you teach us how to pray? Because to Jesus, prayer re-energized. Prayer doesn't zap. Maybe something, somewhere, somehow, somewhere along the line, the way we understand prayer, whether it's individually or corporately, is wrong. Go and read about his life. At the end of a long, hectic day, he withdrew to pray. We all, at the end of a long, hectic day, including myself, lie on the bed, flip out my iPhone, can press the iTunes, just watch some, we call it, watch some program to unwind. Something is wrong. That's not prayer. That's not prayer. Okay, so first one, I, intercession. People, which I'm over the years, I'm slowly changing it, which I realized, hey, actually, it worked. I didn't realize it. Shucks, you know. Where have I been? You know, yeah, it's like God whispered into my ear. Kichuan is always there. Just that you haven't been doing it. You know? So, yeah, of course, you are smart. Yeah. So I, intercession. Individually, we are called to be a people of prayer. Corporately, God insists on night and day. Night and day, correct, right? Night and day prayer, which is closely connected to work of justice. There is a reason. I'll explain to you why corporate prayer, why night and day prayer that is closely linked to justice. Or you can call it humanitarian work. God ties it in connection with night and day prayer. Okay, that's I. Second, H, holiness. Holiness. That means radical commitment to holiness. Holiness is more than just you have no sin in life. Holiness means you are set apart. Pride. How we define it, that means we talked about we seek to be wholehearted lover of Jesus, living out the first and the great commandment. And second, we seek to be true kingdom people as defined by Sermon on the Mount, Lifestyle, Matthew 5, 6, 7. So that's why I'm so glad, you know, during the call, Dwayne was talking about, you know, being wise. One of the things about being wise right now as a people of God is to cultivate the Sermon on the Mount lifestyle. That's what H is all about. Radical commitment to holiness, wholehearted love for Jesus. We want to cultivate love for Jesus. First, love for Jesus. And second, we want to be true kingdom people, walking out the Sermon on the Mount lifestyle. No, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is not just 3 good chapters, put it up there. No one can attain it. No, I say many times, every requirement that God has for us in the Word, He has already given us grace to live it out. We can. So that's H. O, offering. No, offering is more than just giving money, okay? How I define it is extravagant giving to God in terms of time, service, and money. Do you know that extravagant giving matters to God? Remember in Luke 21, the widow, the very poor widow, give two mites. It matters to God. Don't give out of surplus. Give out of sacrifice and extravagance, because God is extravagant and we want to be people extravagant. That's why during our I'm just saying it not to bread or whatever. I'm saying it so that we catch on this lifestyle that every conference we collect offerings, we always give away one. I was just talking to the treasurer. We suffer a certain amount of loss because we give it away. We could have kept it for ourselves and we have easily covered. But that's not the point. The point is I'm training my heart. I'm giving an example to every one of us, as well as even setting a benchmark for the people of God that we choose to give away extravagantly, because we could have kept it for ourselves. And at the end of the day, the conference will be no net loss. It's just nice. If I don't give that away, it will be just nice. But that's not the point. We want to give extravagant. You see, the point is this. I'm also waiting for God to respond. I'm just waiting. Hopefully 1 week, 2 weeks. Don't take too long, God. Don't wait for 10 years. No, not 10 years. Just 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, 2 months. Man, God respond. And we cover everything. Just wait and see. Okay, I'm just waiting. You know, every day, every week, I'm just waiting. I don't know where you're going to come from. Okay. Yeah, I'm just waiting. Maybe one of y'all write a check. No, I'm just joking. Yeah. I'm not hinting. Okay. Second Samuel 24, chapter 24, verse 24, said this about David. That's what made David different. He was looking for a place to build an altar for God. So that this guy who came, I can't remember his name, Ara, something like that. Say, oh, you're king, you want to build an altar for God. I'm going to give you this land free to build an altar, and he offers some other thing. Most of us say, wow, chap toa. Wow, what a lucky day, man. You know, get three free guitar and so on. You know what David said? I will not give unto the Lord anything that costs me nothing. That's why he's a man after God's own heart. Wow. Wow. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for people who give extravagantly. That's why I always say this. Give extravagantly to God. Live simply for ourselves. Unfortunately, most of the time, we live extravagantly for ourselves. Give simply to God. Don't do that. No, again, people say, so what is simple? What is extravagant? I'm not going to define for you. It's up to you. Each your own. Okay, I'm not going to define because we are not going to put this legalistic benchmark or whatever. It's about your heart. But the key is we want to be extravagant to God. And I choose to live simply for ourselves. That's why the house is very simple. You know, the burning house, people come, wow, the chair is very nice. Wow, I got cushion. I say, very cheap, burning, $20. Anyway, it's for about, we bought it 2006. Still haven't changed. 2006, 2014, 8 years already. We will not change. You know, sometimes the screw drop, just pick up the screw and screw it back. We just want to simply, as long as you don't hurt your back and so on, it's fine. We just want to be simple. We want to give extravagantly. To me, giving extravagantly to God is not about buying good chair and so on, no, and then 20 Osim chair. Giving extravagantly to God is I give to the poor. I give to Israel. I give to those who are in need. That is giving extravagantly to God. Not the best guitar, as if God is playing the guitar. No, he's not. He doesn't need that golden guitar. You know, I heard there's guitar that costs $10,000. Wow, unbelievable. Okay. Anyway, never mind. Let's not go there. Okay, so that's offering. We want to give extravagantly to, oh goodness, 8:30. Okay, 4, prophetic empower. That's the P. Prophetic empower. That means we want moving in supernatural signs and wonder and speaking boldly the very word of God as a norm. As a norm. So that's the 4 core value. IHOP, intercession, holiness, offering, prophetic. You know, next week is fasting. My mind is beginning to click. You can't talk about fasting without actually fasting. Maybe we will do a 1 week fast. Okay, let me think about it. Okay. Okay, today we're going to talk about prayer. Prayer. Okay. I'm going to talk about prayer. I'm going to talk about 6 things about prayer quickly. Okay. I'm going to just dwell on certain things. Some things I'm just going to go quickly. I'm going to talk about 3 blessings of prayer. I'm going to define for you what is prayer. We've got to define correctly. Why we pray. Okay. You know, not because God petty, you don't ask, I don't give. See who blink first. No, that's not God. If that's your idea about prayer and about God, then you are mistaken. And then you are unlikely to pray. Okay. So, blessings of prayer. What is prayer? Why prayer? Give you 3 practical principles in cultivating consistent prayer lives. Okay, don't get excited. Okay, it's actually not a new thing. Okay, and I'm going to tell you why corporate prayer, why we need to come together. Because over the years, people always ask me, can't I just stay at home? Now internet age, just plug in. No, God requires us together, to come together under one roof. Then give you 8 benefits of prayer. Now I want to dwell a little bit of time on how do we engage during whether apostolic or devo. There's something that you can do and you will benefit. Whether it's apostolic prayer or devo, it's not about here, listen to music or watching someone sing. You have to actively engage and participate. And one of the things is that you have to verbalize. When you say something happened, that's why sometimes I say very loud. It's not because I want to let you know what I'm talking about. It's because I'm verbalizing it. When I'm verbalizing it, the word will mark my heart. Something changed. Even when I'm praying for someone else or another body of Christ and so on, when I verbalize it, something changed. That's why I want to encourage every one of us to verbalize it. Don't be passive. You know, all the time you sit there, nothing wrong with sitting. Sometimes just stand up, say it for yourself. No, I'm not talking about we want to be rowdy, you know, suddenly tomorrow, our apostolic prayer, everybody, ah, yes! No, it's about you say it. It benefits you. And more than that, you can engage much longer and you go down the road, you begin to enjoy it. I'll give you some tips. And other things, open up the Bible. You're not here to listen to song and tap your feet. Song don't change you. It's the Word of God that changed your life. So open up the very Word of God and begin to verbalize it. Say it. Just a simple thing when you do actually. After that, you become a pattern. It become a lifestyle. It's very easy. That's what I do. Okay, I'm going to give you some. Okay, along the way. Okay, let's go quickly. I only have 40 minutes. Quickly, I'm going to just run through this quickly. Some I'm going to run through quickly. Some I'm going to dwell a little bit longer because it's to help us to grow into it, to be a people of prayer. First is this, three blessings of prayer. Three blessings of prayer. Okay. It actually causes our spirit and our inner man to be energized and to be vibrant. You want your spirit to be vibrant? I encourage you to pray. Spend more time to pray. You say, no, actually, I feel more tired. No, then maybe you need to learn how to pray. Prayer is about talking to God, connecting your heart with God. That's why at the end of the day, you read Jesus' life. He withdrew. He didn't watch iPhone. He spent time praying. You know, I'm not against unwind. You know, I need to unwind. Sure, go and unwind. Let me suggest a best way to unwind. Talk to God. No, when I say talk to God, it doesn't mean that you have to, you know, at the end of the day when I'm tired, you know how I unwind? I lie on my bed. I talk to God. I talk until I fall asleep. Now, that's why I like iPhone. No, iPhone is not because you can watch YouTube or whatever. Because if my wife sleep, I don't have to, if I read the Bible, I don't have to turn on the light. Just got light. It helps. I just read. I just finish tired, unmute, then sleep. It helps. I find that one of the best ways to unwind is when I reconnect my heart with God. See, a lot of time, if you're a minister long enough, you know any minister will tell you this. The most vulnerable moment of any minister or pastor is after you hit the peak. Especially after you do a great conference, you touch thousands of lives. That is the moment that you are most vulnerable. You know why? A lot of time we're tired. We disconnect ourselves with God. That's where you are most vulnerable. And you get tired. No, the best way, go and pray. Re-energize. The first blessing causes our spirit, our inner man, to be energized and vibrant. You want to keep your spirit vibrant? You have to pray. You have to pray. That's why Paul suggested pray without ceasing. Pray in the spirit. Pray in tongues. Try if you can. I mean, it's easy. I won't say easy. Actually, it takes some hard work. I mean, I try. I mean, most of the time, I can. Sometimes, I cannot. I pray in tongues for at least an hour a day. Okay. It helps. You know, it's easy. If you take a train or take a bus, you can. Just don't too loud. People think what's happening with this guy. Then you got a lot of space suddenly because everybody is withdrawing from you. Okay. So first one, blessing. Causes our spirit, inner man, to be energized and vibrant. Two, blessings of prayer. Releases blessings, favor, and authority of God in our life or ministry. I explain to you why. 3, which is true. Prayer changed the world. Prayer changed the world. That's why I like what C. Peter Wagner said. History is in the hand of intercessors. History is in the hand of intercessors. You know, sometimes we think that by going out to the field, oh, you change the world. Yeah, it's true. It's important. You need. But at the end of the day, what really changed the world is when you pray before you go out, which is vital. Which is vital. More and more throughout the whole world, mission agency is waking up to the importance of tying up mission together with night and day prayer. Because without that, you won't be effective. It's naive. I explained to you why Jesus tied night and day prayer together with justice. That means humanitarian work, whatever. Why? That is the reason. So 3 blessings of prayer. Causing our spirit, our inner man, to be energized, vibrant. Releases the blessing, favor, and authority of God in our life and ministry. 3, prayer changes the world. Prayer changes the world. It's true. History is in the hand of intercessors. Okay. Next, what is prayer? What is prayer? I'm just going to make it simple. Okay. What is prayer? No, we can get technical, you know, yeah, intercession is this, whatever. Just make it simple. Prayer simply means talking to God. Talking to God. Just talk to God. That's prayer. That's why when I read the Bible, I love it. You know, I look at, you know, one of the reasons why I love to read Bible character, you know, like Abraham, Moses, they have a really powerful and rich prayer life. Look at Abraham, the way he talked to God. Moses, you run down the list, Isaac, Jacob, so on and so on. Man, that's prayer, talking to God. Simply talking to God. Sometimes we over-define prayer. No, I know there's a place. Prayer is simply talking to God. Conversation with God. Okay, or you want to define is simply agreeing with what is in God's heart. That's prayer. Oh, yes, God, I agree with you. I agree with you. That's why I define. There are 3 things about prayer. I call it what a privilege, what a miracle, and it's a struggle. Struggle is not because of, you know why it's a privilege? We never actually think about that. It's a privilege because God actually wants a conversation with us. Wow. God wants a conversation with us. God wants us to talk to Him. He talked to us. Do you know, if you read the scripture, it's more often God plead with us to pray instead of we plead with Him to listen. It's the other way around. That's it. This is amazing. This is amazing. That's why it's a privilege, because God wants to talk to us. And He wants us to talk. Not that He's lonely. No, He's never lonely. But He wants us to talk to Him. That's a great privilege. You know why it's a powerful miracle? Sometimes it's so powerful. I mean, it's a powerful miracle because simply, just sometimes you never think about it. Simply by talking to Him, we get a greater revelation of who He is. Simply by talking to Him, God releases His resources. Simply by talking to Him, God moves His hand and pour out His power. Talk. Wow. Wow. It's so simple. That is prayer, talking to God. But to me, the most amazing is that God wants to talk to me. God wants, you know, sometimes people tell me, yeah, I'm lonely, no one to talk to. You know, sometimes me and my wife will have this, you know, Kichong, you're always not at home. Say, talk to God. And she always say, yeah. And sometimes she's doing anything, can I talk to you? Say, no, you talk to God. Yeah. He's always, it's about talking. Okay. You know why it's a fierce struggle? It's a fierce struggle. Actually, sometimes the power of darkness know more than us. Okay. It's a fierce struggle because the power of darkness tried to shut it down, prevent us from praying. I always say this about prayer meeting. The fact that you show up tonight No, I'm not telling you tonight. I'm just giving you an illustration. The fact that you show up tonight in the prayer meeting, you already won half the battle. Yes. The fact, I mean, hopefully you don't come at 9:25. Okay. Yeah, okay, start at 7:30. The fact that you show up at the prayer meeting tonight, you already won half the battle. Do you realize that? Yes. Even our prayer meeting, do you realize that? Sometimes people kind of like, yeah, sit there, does it matter? Your amen matters. Yes. Your amen matters. Your yes, your agreement matters. Hey, it's not just people who stand up there, sing or pray that the rest all down there doesn't count. No. All who show up, you want half the battle. And your amen, and you say, yes, do it, Lord, matters. That's why sometimes I say so loud. Not because for you to hear. It's because I know it matters. Like someone is praying, oh God, pour out that revelation on the beauty of Jesus upon the young people so that their heart will be fascinated, captivated, ruined and undone. You know why I would say, do it, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, do it. Because it matters. I'm not just going through motion. I'm talking to God and that matters. That's why it's so important, okay? So prayer, simply talking to God.